What do you think? Is the dream of winning a Super Bowl dead without major changes around here, Cowboys fans? That's what a former NFL president had to say. The Franklin Frankel Injury Attorney text line is open for you at 877-881-1053. Third hour of the Nation. We're going all the way until 7 o'clock tonight. And then you'll get some sort of configuration with the Fan After Dark. But Blake was in with Medford today, filling in for KMC, who's out sick.
I think it's Fred and C.A.
Fred and C.A.
The three-time Hall of Famer.
Looking forward to that. 7 to 11 here on 105.3 The Fan. Brian?
Fred and Blake were huge helps.
Yes, yeah, salute us. To them.
You know, yeah. they came in early and did some stuff with us. And Will Chambers was also a huge help. So those guys are listening. Thanks very much for giving Eric and I assistance for the G-Bag Nation. We really appreciate you, man.
Yeah, and salute to you guys for holding it down so well. Yeah. You know, and over week and a half, as Wolchuk and I were enjoying some holiday greatness, I was up there in the mountains of Oregon. The snow cooperated perfectly. We got lots of it, you know, white Christmas. It started coming down on Christmas Day.
Wow, that's man. Awesome.
And it didn't really relent. Yesterday, as we were pulling out, there was a fresh 3 or 4 inches of snow on the ground. Mom said, I'm not taking you to the airport because, you know, the roads were so hectic. Mm. So we got a driver there and everything was perfect, but man, it's something else when you get up there in the mountains and you get to enjoy that kind of Christmas. I would highly recommend the Bend, Oregon area for anybody that's looking for a winter destination. Still not too crowded, although it's become quite popular. Okay, you're looking at you probably worked with this guy, didn't you, Brian? Joe Banner?
I did. I was with him in Philly.
Okay. So it'd be interesting, you know,
he hates the Cowboys.
Yeah, he was reacting to Ed Werder's tweet about it. Where he was talking to that, you know, McCarthy forced Kellen Moore's departure because he convinced Jerry that he should be the play caller. I think Zimmer remains a quality DC, hard to be effective with so many edge players and corners injured. Joe came over the top and said Eagles head coach and coordinators contribute way more to winning. He said, I have a lot of respect for you, Ed, but Jerry's dream of winning a Super Bowl is dead without major changes. Look at the top teams, head coaches and coordinators. Almost all are better than Dallas. Kansas City, Detroit, Bills, Ravens, Vikings, Eagles, all much better, he says. You know, I don't necessarily agree with that. You know, I don't think this coaching staff is, you know, the best by any stretch of the imagination, but I think they do a very sufficient job. And, you know, after winning as many games as they've had, after coming back after all of these injuries this year and still having a shot at 500, if you didn't have AO make the special teams play, you might be playing, you know, to be 9-8 right now. So I think you can't be bad at your job and do that. So that's funny. I disagree with the specifics of how Joe is laying this out, but I do think the level of difficulty for the Cowboys is significantly higher. You know, I don't think their probabilities are worse than, say, the Giants or the Raiders. You guys could probably help me out with some absolutely horrible teams that we've seen.
Yeah, Browns, Jets,
Dolphins.
Seems like things just can't go right.
Dolphins.
But they're in like the bottom third, I would say, of Super Bowl probability. And it's going to take, you know, some really fortunate, you know, either injury luck, draft luck, you know, a ball bouncing a couple of times in a game, special teams plays in the playoff run. I mean, I think they're the way that they team build does make it more difficult than it needs to be, but I wouldn't call it dead by any stretch of the imagination. What do you guys think?
I mean, it's honestly, it's hard to disagree when you're talking about the ultimate getting to a Super Bowl, winning a Super Bowl. It's hard to feel like that they are in any way heading in that direction. I just don't think it's a priority for them. So I do think they are just as far as all those bottom of the barrel franchises in the sport. They're obviously better than them in a multitude of ways when it comes to winning regular season games and being able to get to the playoffs, but they are just as far away from actually winning a Super Bowl as all of those teams are.
Yeah, what's frustrating is, I guess you just look at, I mean, now you're 30 years removed from an NFC Championship game appearance. And you would at one time, and maybe, you know, I'd still like to think of the Cowboys as like the premier team in the NFL. And you look at the other teams in the other sports, like the Lakers, the Celtics, you think in the NBA. They've won championships. They've been back to the finals in those runs, right? The Yankees in Major League Baseball, they haven't won a World Series since 2009, but they were just in a World Series. Like, for this amount of time, three decades, an entire generation of Cowboy fans, myself at 33 years old, that really can't recollect and remember watching them play just for an NFC championship game, let alone a Super Bowl. It does kind of feel as though the dream is dead. It is very, very hard for me to find any type of optimism with the way that they go about doing things. I mean, the list of, like, the offensive and defensive coordinators, when's this team ever on the forefront of, like, trying to do something creative or fun? And, Brian, you've always stressed, like, well, like, why aren't they the team that does this?
Yeah.
Like, the owner slash general manager and Steven and anyone else you want to throw out, like, they're not at risk of losing their jobs. Right. Like, Jerry just went on Sean and RJ earlier this week and talked about how, yeah, he kind of likes doing the short-term contracts. He doesn't feel like the one-year deal for the head coaches or the coaching staff had any negative impact because he's seen sometimes that makes these guys work harder. Like, sometimes it ends up being a benefit. Jerry never puts that stipulation on himself. Right. Has Jerry ever sat down and said, like, you know what, if we don't get it done by 2025, I'm firing myself? No, that's never going to happen. And until something drastically changes, 30 years is too long of a sample size to say that this thing is going to get figured out.
You know, I would think, though, the bigger factor in them not winning it is just them settling for slightly above average quarterback play. And that can be shots fired at Dak Prescott or Tony Romo.
That's fair.
You know, who wins them? It's Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes, you know. You got some Peyton Manning in there. You know, every now and then you have an outlier, and usually it's an outlier with an unbelievable roster or a great coach, as, you know, is the case with Sean McVay. You know, but I just don't see a lot of, like, different names popping up here and getting the job done usually. And, you know, that's why I think by far the biggest mistake has been, you know, sticking with quarterbacks who aren't clear Hall of Fame players.
Well, yeah, and sticking with coaches that aren't difference makers. You gave Jason Garrett 9 years. We were firing him after four. We all knew this was not going to cut it. And we're in the similar boat right now with Mike McCarthy. And they all are working from a huge disadvantage. And I don't know if there's anybody on the planet that can overcome the things that the Cowboys present to you as a coach that you're going to have to overcome in order to get to where you want to go. There's a tug of war with priority here. And so being able to revamp the culture and make this a winning franchise that has different type of aspirations to actually get to the Super Bowl, that is the ultimate challenge. Any coach that has this is in a world of trouble with trying to establish what he wants with the difference in priority with the front office.
It's so much to juggle. It's going to take, like, a rare breed of person, rare individual that can come in here, because you're going to have to also realize, as the head coach, I have to almost sacrifice, like, work and do what you want to do, but also try and make my boss feel like ultimately the success is because of you. Because that's what this comes down to. This is Jerry wanting all the recognition and the success. That's what it is. When they win their Super Bowl, he wants to say, I did it. We did it my way. I did it. Right. But now, after 30 years, if you're going to hire that coach that finally is able to break through is going to get the shine. Ultimately, it's going to take a special person to be able to balance the, well, I don't care that I'm sitting here and giving a presser. Jerry's talking the same time I'm talking. I got three people here that I'm talking to. Oh, well, do the players still have to buy? I'm the ultimate decision maker. Is it me or is it the owner and GM? I've got to figure out a way to navigate all of these waters, plus the circus of the constant distractions that come with being the biggest brand in the world when it comes to sports. There's a lot you've got to navigate and maneuver.
There is a lot.
It takes a special person.
And I think he does a tremendous amount of that really, really well. You know, I there is a part of what he doesn't do that's very frustrating because the offense isn't optimized. But, I mean, first, fourth, and second the last 3 years with an offensive line in transition, you know, with really one good wide receiver in CeeDee Lamb. Brandon Cook's okay. Michael Gallup was falling apart. You had nobody else. You had Dalton Schultz and Jake Ferguson as tight ends. Nothing against those guys, like, kind of Pro Bowl-ish, you know? And maybe Dalton Schultz is better than what I give him credit for. But, I mean, you were generating a lot of offense, a lot of points per game with Dak Prescott as your quarterback. A non-running Dak the whole time.
But never when you went up against a real opponent. Never. I mean, they can help their cause with the big picture numbers by just tearing up bad teams. But they, as soon as you put them in a postseason-type atmosphere, whether it's a home game or on the road, a true playoff-quality team,
yeah,
they don't even stand a chance in the games. It's deer in the headlights. You go to Buffalo, a beautiful day in November. The weather gods were smiling down on you that day. It's sunshine. You didn't get the blizzard. And you get embarrassed from the start.
There's a lot of like teams that feast on bad football teams in the regular season. But you did it the best for 3 years.
Yes, but then do you always also get embarrassed by the top teams? Or do you at least, are you in the fight? Is the game in the balance in the fourth quarter? God, can you just be down single digits at halftime instead of multiple scores?
Well, they
that's the huge problem. The gap between where they are versus the bad teams and then where they are when you get a quality opponent. Yes, they had a playoff win versus Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. That was an 8-win football team. That was
they beat
just,
the Lions late last year. I mean, there's a smattering of them.
There's the blue moon moment. There's the blue moon moment. But by and large, you up against a quality opponent who's actually going to be in the postseason and winning their division, not just because they're the Bucs and they're 8 wins and they're playing with the Saints and the Panthers and the Falcons. When you go up against a real playoff opponent, for the most part, since McCarthy's been here, you get smacked.
I mean, I know this is not Dak Prescott, Ledger. It's Cooper Rush, but I mean, you beat them a couple years back. They were coming off a Super Bowl, you know? You beat the Turds annually. You've beaten the Eagles at least once.
Divisional opponent.
The playoffs. It's all about the playoffs. And Mike McCarthy. And
okay, so to my point, that's where the best quarterbacks win, right?
Usually, right? Or
who's got the deer in the headlights look? It's not Mike.
No, yeah, but it's also like Mike's an offensive coach, right? And the 2 years where they were in it against San Francisco, the offense let them down. Like, your defense gave up, I think it was 24 points, then what was it, 19 against an offense that we look at Mike Shanahan, and he's one of the best offensive coaches in the league. Like, that's pretty damn good. You had a chance in the fourth quarter to go win it. And yes, that's fault on the quarterback and Dak Prescott, 100%. But it's also fault on your head coach, who is an offensive guy, in Mike McCarthy. Like, figure out a game plan to score more than 24 points.
And I would just say, I think the regular season with 16 or 17 games is a better judge over the course of 50 games than one playoff game.
But it's all about the playoffs.
It is.
That's the standard. Yeah. And you were brought here to finally get this team over the divisional round. But Garrett couldn't do it. You can't do it.
Is that the best objective scientific way to answer that question, though? Well, it's all about the playoffs.
It should be. The standard should be championships. And now we're just okay with, can you get 2 playoff wins? And that's a sad state to be in as a Cowboy fan.
Well, I would just say I think Mike McCarthy's better at his job than Dak is at his. You know,
hey, he's got a championship. Dak hasn't sniffed one.
This all does come back to Jerry Jones, right?
Yes.
And his decision to ride with a guy that can just make the playoffs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And maybe he looks at, you know, the coaching staff the same way. I don't know if you could come up with the right coach that under these circumstances, Mike McCarthy has been in to win.
Totally,
man,
agree.
I was having
totally
a hard agree. Time coming up with that guy because in the history of this organization, they've only had 3 really difference maker head coaches, I think. Tom Landry, Jimmy Johnson, and Bill Parcells.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody else has pretty much just been, you know, pretty solid, dependable. Some of them not very good. You know, I was part of the Dave Campo administration. We weren't very good, but yeah, the hiring of a difference making head coach and Joe Banner got rid of Andy Reid, so he got rid of Andy Reid had been in Philadelphia for 14 years, probably hearing a lot of the same things that Mike McCarthy, you know, that we'll talk about with Mike.
So Roseman kind of took over for Banner,
yeah.
As far as the main decision maker.
Yeah, they moved on from
got better without him.
Well, yeah, that's what happened. They Joe was like the president of the club, and they said, "Nah, we're moving on from you." But I don't know if this organization is capable of hiring a difference maker head coach.
Yeah,
and I don't know, to be honest with you, if there is a difference maker head coach out there, and maybe he's at North Carolina right now. Maybe that's the one guy but I don't know if Ben Johnson is a difference making head coach.
I'd sure like to find out.
Yeah, though. I would too. I mean, Matt LaFleur were. We didn't know if Sean McVay was.
Sure.
We didn't know if Kevin O'Connell was. These guys are all looking great. They got to get their first chance.
Yeah.
And there seems to be a little bit of a fear and trepidation of, I got to have skins on the wall with my head coach here.
Yeah.
We don't want to attempt and see, is this young guy that innovative dude? And you can throw, I mean, I know we've talked about the Jason Witten stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, that'd be outside the box, but give me a guy who's been in the NFL and at least has earned that opportunity so far.
See, would you consider Garrett the first time head coach?
Yeah, he was. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. See, I mean, he has given, but it wasn't a difference making coach.
No. And did any of us really think that he was?
No.
And the reason Jerry was comfortable with giving him the job is because he'd been in the building for so long. But yeah. You know, I think Blake made a great point earlier today. They were doing like New Year's resolutions for DFW sports, and his for the Cowboys was don't be afraid of failure. Right. Yeah. And I think, you know, going with a coach who's got a track record, you kind of feel like he's going to limit our downside, where if you're taking a swing on a first time head coach, it can blow up in all sorts of ways. And right. Geniuses can look like idiots in 6 months.
Right.
So, you know, but that would be, you know, I think a surprising development if we found out the Cowboys were scouring coaching staffs looking for the next great guy who's got a chance. They'll find somebody who's got a Super Bowl on their resume and, you know,
John Gruden can
guide you through. Maybe. Okay.
His playoff win drought's not much. Much smaller than yours. I think he's like 25 years or something since he's won a playoff game.
Mm. Wow. Okay, Wolchuk, we do have Eric Kendricks on the schedule. Do we have any update on that? Are we going to the top 10 next? What do you think?
Well, we're looking at probably around 4:30-ish for Kendricks. It could be earlier. I'll try and get an update during the break. If we do the top 10, it is National Buffet Day. I know last year we did like the top 10 things to see on a buffet, but what's the best type of buffet? What gets you most excited? Let's talk buffets next.